Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. She doesn't ever stay in bed all morning just to pass the time. She's one of my hardworking colleagues right here at Civic Media. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're celebrating Women's History Month today. Welcome back to the show if you're rejoining us. Welcome if you've just tuned in. And as promised, I've got my very fabulous colleague, Melissa Kay, whom you hear on the dial up in WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Welcome to the show, Melissa. I can't wait to talk to you about your experiences as a woman in media.
Thank you, Maggie. I'm delighted to be here. It's so excellent to talk with you.
It's nice. The last time we saw each other was almost a year ago at the Wisconsin Broadcaster Association Awards. So I love a good excuse for us to catch up and learn a little bit more about each other and share it with each and every one of you who are listening. Melissa, we all have these fascinating stories about how we end up in broadcasting and radio specifically, which is its own little unique place in the media landscape these days. Tell folks a little bit about you, Melissa, and how you came to be in broadcasting.
Well, you know, I have what could be termed an interesting story of how I got here. Not to start with, I was born in, but I am...
Where it works, it works. If it's relevant, it's part of your story.
Well, I am going to go all the way back to grade school. I attended a one-room country schoolhouse for grades 1 through 8, and I was part of a high-control religious group, otherwise known as a cult.
High-control religious group. That's a new euphemism. I'm going to have to write that one down. High-control religious group. What part of the state are you from, Melissa,
if you don't mind sharing? A little central-ish Wisconsin. Okay. I grew up in the Toma, Sparta area.
Know it well. Good friends from Sparta, including a guy who owned a fabulous restaurant right here in Milwaukee, Justin Carlisle, but I've digressed. Toma, Sparta area, high control religious group. Got it. Okay.
So then from eighth grade, I went to a boarding academy at the age of 13, for my freshman year in high school. And again, that was within this religious group, and we were required to work as, to earn our keep, so to speak, there, because it's very expensive. And then I didn't enter the quote unquote real world until I was a sophomore in high school, halfway through my 10th grade of high school, before I got to go to a public school.
Wow. What brought about the change from the boarding school to a public high school?
Well, my parents had divorced, which is why we went to the boarding school, and which is not acceptable, obviously, in a high control religious group like that. But I moved home because I was so homesick. I was just, it was awful. And then I was homeschooled, but I was alone all the time. And I was so just, I begged to be allowed to like take extracurricular classes. And fortunately, the counselor that we met with at the high school convinced my mom to let me just enroll and finish out my high school years in a public school.
Was your mind just blown?
You know, it, yes. I mean, it was such a unreal, like I had no basis for so many of the other things that all of these other kids my age had. And I didn't, you know, I joke on air that I grew up under a rock because I don't, you know, we weren't allowed to watch television. We weren't allowed to talk about television if we did get to watch, you know, movies at home. Or, you know, I had books confiscated, books that I bought at a religious camp confiscated throughout, you know, I mean, our food was controlled, what we were allowed to eat, not allowed to eat, what we were allowed to wear and not wear. So it was a very high control group. And I was pretty much in that into my 20s, where I actually then taught at the one-room schoolhouse that I attended.
No kidding.
At 19 with a high school graduate degree, you know, like that's it. That's all the schooling I had. And then I was teaching the next generation of these kids growing up in this high control group and the church. And then I attempted to escape by marrying at the age of 19.
Wow.
Wow.
And I married a man who was 20 years older than me because that was part of the yes. expectation. The woman was subservient. The expectation was to.
Yeah, it's what you're describing, Melissa, if I can just jump in.
Yeah.
It seems to me, and I am not a psychologist or psychiatrist, I'm not an expert in cults, but it seems to me the things that you are describing have an alarming rate of frequency. Like there are some characteristics that seem to be consistent even in just sort of pop cultural understanding mm-hmm. of what we colloquially referred to as cults, which is women kind of as second class citizens,
yes,
young women marrying, labor being required, mm-hmm. being provided for free.
We are the nurturers and the carers.
Yes.
Yep.
All of those things. What led to you eventually leaving this high control religious group and of all industries ending up in media?
Well, I escaped the then narcissistic marriage, which is another type of cult in itself, mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. far as like high control. And that's very, very common from what I've been learning with cult survivors is that they end up in easily falling prey to another one, especially in your younger years and as you're trying to escape, because the man I married couldn't have been more opposite of, you know, a religious person. But he was a narcissist.
Yeah, narcissists are their own little cults, aren't they? It's like the cult of one, and everybody's got to do what I need. But
the cult of the personality.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And everybody, you know, loves them. Their outward, what they portray to the world and to other people is wonderful. It's great. They're nice people. They're charismatic. They're, you know, but the truth of what they do and how they control people is completely unhealthy. But I did manage to escape that after many attempts, and mostly because my mom was dying of cancer. Mm. And I realized what was more important to me was being able to take care of her and not trying to fix him, because there was no fixing him.
Yeah. The very practical need to be there for your mom.
Mm-hmm. And nurture and care again.
Required some clarity about your other problematic situation. Folks, if you're just joining us, I am joined by my colleague, Melissa Kay. She's with me here at Civic Media. You can hear Melissa on WFHR 97.5 FM and 1320 AM. She is currently working on an interim basis as our news director. One of the things, again, like as we were talking about all of this, Melissa, is how we each bring our own experiences into media. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested. People sort of claim with some frequency these days that people who are very, very strong Trump supporters, not the reluctant Trump voter, not the like, he's a bad guy and he probably has no real moral center and he's super transactional, but boy, I like tax cuts for billionaires and corporations, so I'll vote for Trump. Not those people, but the really super diehard MAGAs. Many of us, and I certainly have in the past, referred to it as a cult or having the characteristics of a cult, mm-hmm. which to me very euphemistically seemed to always connote this very rigidity of belief. And absolutely, if you deviate from the core set of tenets, principles, and beliefs, you will be expelled and have absolutely no professional or social or familial support systems, because it seems that kind of is the rule when it comes to the MAGAs. Are you seeing those? You know this better than anyone I've ever personally spoken to. Do you see those similarities, Melissa?
Well, you know, there's a very, very structure to what makes up a cult. And someone that I've been following a little bit, she's a scholar of cults, extreme groups, and extremely bad leadership is how she determines herself, Daniela Mestinek-Young. And she outlines 10 things that you know, make it a cult. And number one thing is charismatic leadership. Mm. A worldview that brings you under the sacred assumption is the next one. And then they have a transcendent mission. That's number three. Number four
maybe
is
maybe like to save America and return it to its great state great. Based mm-hmm. on a male-centric Judeo-Christian, Christian nationalist sort of viewpoint. I'm being glib, but it's
no.
What do we have here? Correct. So we've got charismatic leader. We've one set of sort of core beliefs. Mm-hmm. What was the third thing, Melissa?
The transcendent mission ship or a transcendent mission.
Save the world. We're doing yep. this big thing, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number four is self-sacrificing membership. So, you know, we're going to have to suffer a little bit while things are leveling out here in the economic state we find ourselves in. Number five is limiting access to the outside world. So keeping that narrow focus, that narrow view, one media source to tell you what's going on. Yes. Number six, distinguishable vernacular. I would say that could be maybe the name calling, the way that they talk down to other people. Number seven.
I might actually be guilty of that on occasion myself, Melissa, but we'll leave that
well,
behind.
I think I'm
clearly not a cult leader.
Number seven, the us versus them mentality, you know, the othering.
Yes.
Because others are bad. Others are not us. Number eight exploits manual labor.
The labor element. Yep.
And number nine, you mentioned this, the high entrance and exit costs, because as you try to exit a cult, you become shunned. You lose your entire social, you know, group.
Yes.
And then number 10 is the ends justifies the means mentality.
Well, that goes hand in hand with having a transcendent objective. If we're all saving the world here, then anything is okay because the opposite, the alternative is just simply unacceptable. Folks, we're going to have to take care of a little bit of business. When we come back, I'm going to be joined again by my friend Melissa Kay, colleague here at Civic Media. She's been sharing her personal experiences growing up in a high-control religious group and how that's helped her be a better news director, a better broadcaster. We're going to put all those linkages together, celebrating women in media for this Women's History Month right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Is MAGA a cult? The conversation continues after this.